Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio,
Australia's most family-friendly podcast network.
BigSoftTitty.png.
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 Great job. Great job, guys. That was some good stuff.
Fuck you.
All right, well, okay, I'm going to start the podcast now, if you guys can fucking grow up.
The podcast has started, baby. We're already in the guts of
it. Hey, Demi, yeah. Welcome to BigSoftTitty.png.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so glad that I got that welcome out of the way so I can warm up for my real big welcome. Thanks for being my training partner there, my sparring partner.
I don't like that.
All right, well, Demi, I've got great news. But why say it when I can sing
it? Yeah, why say it when you can sing it?
Fuck off.
I was working on the pod late one night when my eyes beheld a funny sight. Suddenly, to my surprise, I saw a very funny person with my eyes.
We had a guest.
We've got a podcast guest.
A podcast guest.
Oh, he's one of the best.
A podcast guest.
It was a podcast guest.
A podcast guest.
He was a podcast guest.
Hey, welcome to BigSoftTitty.png. Perhaps the most controversial guest of the program that we have, it's Michael Hing.
Yay!
Hello, big soft titties. What do I call you? What's the collective noun for
you? You shouldn't address them at all, brother.
You've learnt not to address them, in fact.
You want to not engage with them one iota.
All right. Hello, anime boob hounds.
Perfect. Hing, let's get this out of the way. You came to us on bended knee.
Both of them, actually. Two bended knees.
You came to
crawling.
With two bended knees, shuffling yourself around on two bended knees.
Yeah.
I had worms and was dragging my ass along the ground like a dog.
Yes. Hanging breasts, scraping the ground as you crawled towards us, Hing.
Yes,
you supplicated yourself to us like a disgusting beast.
First of all, I showed you my rear end, and then I showed you my soft underbelly, and I said, do with me what you will, for I come to you requiring your help, my lord.
And I said, okay, well, you talk to Tom about that. I'm going to mop up the viscous slime that you left on the way over to us.
We still haven't gotten all of the slime.
It's just wee. It's not viscous. It's wee.
It's fucking viscous for wee, buddy.
Wow. Okay, well, I didn't come here to be wee-shamed by Denny.
No, we agree that it's wee.
Ropes
we think that your wee is very
we
slimy,
think
bro.
Somebody's cooked your piss, Hing, is what I'm saying. It's ropey.
Well, yes, obviously I left it simmering to thicken up the sauce.
Okay, but we don't have to... That's what I'm saying, and we don't have to argue about it.
Imagine hearing Hing piss and just hearing, like, five solid splashes one after the other as he chucks ropes into the toilet.
I don't think you would hear it. I think it would come out like... Like sort of an unbreaking but very soft turd. I think it would come out and it would...
Like a master thief lowering a grappling hook.
Like a catfish going back in the water.
About 25 years ago, my penis was replaced by a tar pitch drop experiment, and there's been a scientist with a webcam who's been trying to record all the pitch drops from my penis, and he's missed all of them, frankly.
That's crazy.
Oh, I mean, first thing first, you got to find the dang thing. It's little as hell.
Yeah, but also we have tried to. It's actually easier to find the first penis because we did put an electronic tag on it, and it's somewhere in the Great Barrier Reef right now.
Guys, that was a great reference. I made to a tar pitch drop experiment. So feel free to at me on Twitter, at Hingers, to tell
me. Don't at Hing because we know what you're going
to
do.
All he wants is engagement. He's addicted to that number, Demi. He's addicted to Belle.
Yes.
Hing, you were begging.
I was.
To come back on the podcast. Do you want to divulge the details as to why?
And for weeks we left the little biscuit on your nose and said, not yet, not yet, tonight.
When the time is right, Michael.
Why do I want to be here on the podcast? Well, Tom and Demi.
Clearly opening up a tab in another monitor, by the way.
You're listeners. Wearing glasses. We can see what
we
you're doing.
We can see what you're doing.
No, I was not opening up League of Legends to play.
I was not.
And I'll screen share with you if you need me to, but I have two screens, so you're probably seeing the reflection of the recording tab on this screen over here, but I wasn't opening up a new screen.
Okay. All right. Well, it was sort of more the lizard film that came down over your eyeballs that showed us that your brain was currently switched off from your friends.
Why do I want to be here on your podcast? Look, is it a contractual obligation I have with the SBS network here in Sydney, Australia, to perform certain commercial and promotional duties for a new television show? Partly. Is it because I have some bones to pick with the both of you? Of course. Is it because I miss my friends? Yes. Is it because I need to remind your listeners to stay the fuck away from me and not be a coffee in the street? Mainly that one.
Don't be near Hing. I can't stress enough. Don't
this
be near
is cool
Hing.
To have a listener come on the podcast to demand people unfollow them on social media and in real life.
Hey, guys, my Twitter is at Hingers. Please unfollow me. Same on Instagram. Please don't follow me.
But, yes, you are indeed helming a new TV show, Michael. And what is that like, for one thing? Oh, how do you get in that little box?
Thank you so much for asking. Well, first of all, what happens is the scientist comes in and shrinks you down. They shrink you down real small, and then they put you in what they call the TV, which is the first television they make.
Right.
And then from that, they beam you out. No, it's I'm hosting a show on SBS.
Now he gets serious. Because it's his contract. He's like, and we've had our fun with the first TV thing.
Okay, well, you didn't even mention Willy Wonka, so I'm not interested.
Okay, well, and obviously, Tom and Demi will be doing lots of things tonight on this recording of this podcast to undermine my plug, because first of all, they know I need to do it. And secondly, they weren't invited to be on the show, so they're resentful.
Oh,
I understand that.
You've been very explicit.
Yes? Yes?
We weren't allowed to be on your show. Are they going to make you do another? Did they make you do appearances on podcasts, and are they going to make you do two because you did this one?
I have done, I would say, about 12 podcasts in the last 3 weeks. Ugh. And all but three have been awful, and the other nine have been great. I will now list the good ones.
Yes, list the good ones.
Oh, man. It's always so tempting. Hey, did I ever tell you there was one podcast, I went to the guy's house to do it as a favor, because the only podcasts I do for people who I don't, like, usually know, It's not because I don't want to do podcasts or I have better things to do. It's just nobody really asked me to. But some guy asked me, like, they do the thing where they email your management, and then your management comes to you and is like, hey, you've got an opportunity to be on this podcast for no money. And I was like, okay, well, if you're bringing it to me, I want to appear eager. So I went to this guy's house, spoke for 45 minutes, and then, like, 2 weeks later that he emailed me and was like, hey, man, the project's actually been picked up by schools and your episode was kind of filthy, so we're going to have to cut it. But thanks so much for your time.
Oh.
God.
Oh, hey.
I have. It's been fun. The show is. You have a lot of listeners in the UK, don't you?
So many. Seems like it.
Billions.
If you're making it sound
like we don't have any listeners. It's a good podcast. When you keep saying this to our friends, they're never going to believe us. A
lot of listeners, Hing. Multo listeners.
If people globally and also mainly in the UK would know a show called 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. It's hosted by that very charming tax fraud himself, Jimmy Carr. This is the Australian version of that show. And like a lot of things that are brought here from overseas to make an Australian version of, people will hate it. Tom, do you have any experience of that at all?
Michael, thank you for asking. Whose Line Is It Anyway? Australia, of course, was subject to the Tom Walker kiss of death. You put me on season one of your TV show. You don't need to worry about booking a season two, okay?
Sure.
We can just go ahead and wipe that thing off the schedule.
But I was talking to your parents, Tom, and they seemed to think there was a possibility that season two of...
Thank you, Michael. Yes, that's because my father got on a Virgin Airlines flight and noticed that Whose Line Australia was on their in-flight entertainment and was listed as season one. And he texted me saying that that was a good sign. And I had to let my own father down saying that, no, father, it's just that usually the programs that they get on those flights are successful ones that have run for a long time. And so they didn't bother to say final season.
It should have said final season.
Yeah, it should have said Whose Line Australia season.
Only season. Limited series, mini series.
In many ways though, Tom, if you just have a show that goes for one season, it's a more scarce commodity, you know? So I feel like it's
that's an interesting non-point you've made, Hing, because what you've said is if you have one of something, there's only one of it.
Well,
and that is true.
Yes, absolutely. But what I guess the point I'm trying to illustrate is I don't know a lot about economics, but have you guys seen that supply and demand graph?
Yeah. You know?
And as supply goes down, demand goes through the roof.
We love looking at graphs, actually. You really nailed us.
Like
we'd look at them before
really
we...
It's a graph-based podcast, right?
Mostly,
really
yeah.
Me and Demi have actually been looking into another graph to really sink our teeth into as a couple. So after supply and demand, I think we'll be dealing with...
Divorce rates in Australia.
Think of a single other graph, Tom.
trying to think of a single other thing that can be plotted on two axes and coming up short.
Come on, Tom, go. Coronavirus deaths.
Wait.
Go with coronavirus deaths.
Do it. No. Do coronavirus deaths.
Fuck, did I tell you about that TV show? I did tell you about that show I did where I did a show where all the questions were incredibly bleak for some reason. So they were like, how many of the... They had this like big group of people.
There's no way to not give away what it was.
Oh, it was The 100 with Andy Lee. It's one of two things I've done in the past, you know, 5 years. But I was on this show.
So it wasn't Whose Line Season 2?
It wasn't.
Listen, the NDA means I can't reveal any details of Whose Line Season. Demi, we're going to have to edit this. Okay, we'll take Okay, good. And we're back. No, but all the questions they asked their audience to answer were so intense. One of the questions was, are you scared of dying from COVID-19?
And so just to give people who don't know the show, and I'm sure 99% of people globally would have seen the show, but if people don't know the show, it's a sort of a giant Zoom call with 100 people on it, and they just survey them all, asking them quite generic questions.
Yes.
And then you have to give funny answers, and then they compare your answers to the ones that were given by the group.
Precisely.
When they asked you, Tom, if you were afraid of dying of COVID-19, what did you predict the audience would say?
No, wait. They didn't ask my you
job,
if you were
my
afraid.
Job was to work out how many of them were scared of dying of COVID-19.
Yeah, sure,
and I said like 98%. Because I was like, well, two of you will be dead already or whatever.
Yeah.
But then a bunch of people said no, and then they got one woman on the call. She was like, I said I'm not scared of it. And they're like, so do you think you're not at risk? And she was like, oh no, I understand I'm at risk. I'm in the age group, but I don't fear death. It was, and everyone, just the whole audience, I felt like I was going insane.
She was holding a slick katana near her head as she said this.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tom, he's also holding a katana. He's like, well, we shall dance tonight, madame.
Ah, Andy Lee raising his katana. Wow, we're in for a great one here.
But then you see my shadow in the background and suddenly everybody falls into three wet pieces on the ground. You don't even see me move.
But yeah, it's 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, right?
Yes. Oh, speaking of Andy Lee,
Yes.
Can I tell you a story about him?
Yes.
I think that might be funny for your listeners. So people know who Andy Lee is. He's probably one of the two most successful comedians in Australia. Him and Hamish, yeah. So he, I've had nothing to do with him. He seems, you know, very handsome and very charming,
very good at his job.
He thinks that if he gets close enough to him, that'll disappear like a mirage.
Yeah, a ragged old crone.
Far away.
Yeah, he's wiggly. He's full of coconuts. Yeah.
He gave me.
As soon as I get up close, what do his paws look like? That's what I want to know.
They look pretty good. Also, when I turned up to the shoot, he gave me a scratchet. And that
like
he gave me a scratchy, like a lotto ticket that you scratch away at.
I think that's a TV thing, because yeah. I've done TV shows that have done that as well. Did you win anything?
Won nothing.
He gave you a little job.
He gave me a job to fail at.
Usually they give you a coin. Did he give you a coin to scratch it with?
Yeah.
Mm. Well,
but I left it.
It was $1,000 coin, and Tom left that in the studio.
They gave me my fee to scratch it with.
He took his 5-cent win with the scratchy and left his $1,000 coin in the dressing room.
Andy Lee, one of his many things that he does is he mentors some comedians. And that's a very nice thing that he does, because he's very successful and he takes on people who are like, have been in the industry for less time than him. And one of his mentor comedians is Auntie Donna, who we all know and love. And a couple of years ago, when they were in LA doing the Auntie Donna Netflix show, and we were all in LA going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
You guys remember going to Disneyland?
I remember going to Disneyland.
Yeah. So after you guys had either left or had gone to somewhere else, did we guys? I can't remember if you guys were going somewhere else or what.
No, but, you just forced us to come to Disneyland with you. You just called us and said we had to come.
Yeah, I think we then had an itinerary of going to Six Flags and doing a lot of edibles.
Yeah. So when you guys went elsewhere, I one night was hanging out with Zach from Auntie Donna, and he said, "We're going to go get dinner tonight. Would you like to come?" And I was like, "I would love to get dinner with my friends, the three people from Auntie Donna and their friends who are also there." So, like, I think Ben Russell and a few others were going to be there, right? They told me the place to turn up. I turned up. What they didn't tell me was that this was a dinner organized by Andy Lee, who was also in Los Angeles. And it was a mentorship dinner that they had invited me to.
Why? Why did they do that?
I don't know why they did that.
They're all mentally ill and none of them talk to each other.
I guess they were trying hard, but they just don't. I think they were just trying to be nice, but I don't think they realized how fucking strange it was.
That's so funny.
A person who's obviously not in Auntie Donna, and secondly, who's never met Andy Lee to turn up to this dinner, right? So I turned up.
You walk in and you start doing a funny little walk, hoping that they'll think you're in Auntie Donna.
It's me, Hing, the Italian Auntie Donna. The thing is, it's so funny because I reckon. So Zach was the one that invited you?
Yeah, but I was on a group chat, so they were all like, yeah, come.
Oh, okay, because I thought it was like Zach had invited you, because I was imagining, like, when they're on their own, I think they all think they're doing the right thing. So Zach would have been like, come to the dinner, and the other two would have been like, what are you doing inviting him to the dinner? But if Mark had been alone with you, he would have been like, you should come to this dinner. they all get so strange.
They would all have made the same mistake, but then seen the other one's mistake and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Why did you think that was all right?
Oh, you should come to the dinner, man.
Anyway, they were all really lovely about it, despite the fact that it was a fucking weird situation. their mentor was like, I'll take you guys out to dinner. And, you know, there was enough people at the dinner, like partners and whoever else, that I didn't speak to Andy Lee the whole night. I just sat, like, basically six people away from him at this big table and...
There's 13 people at the table, and you are perfectly placed, so you are the farthest you can possibly be from Andy Lee. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also staring him in the eyes.
And, like, at that point, and even now, I wouldn't have thought he would know who I am or, like, have any idea of, like, me being involved in comedy or anything, you know. I mean, even if he did now, certainly 2 years ago, he definitely didn't. And so I sat there at the table, ate a bunch of pizza, got anxious enough that I started eating edibles because I was like, fuck this. Then became extremely paranoid and was just like losing my fucking mind. Hum, if Hum was there, she could have easily charmed everyone because she's just, everyone loves her. But she'd already left to go back home. So it was just me there by myself. It was like, honestly, everyone was in a couple and there was me, just this fucking single ringing so loser. Funny. Bombing their fucking dinner. And at the end of the night, I went up to, I was just saying, like, thank you to everyone. And I tried to hi. I thought it would be really, I was like, oh man, Andy's buying everyone dinner. I should at least offer to pay for mine. So I went up to him while he was paying and I was like, oh, can I look at the bill, man? And he's like, what? And I had not introduced myself at this point. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh, hey, I'm Michael. I'm friends with these guys. I feel weird about you buying me dinner because I didn't. And he's like, no, it's totally fine. Like, and he was really nice. And he was just basically like, I can't remember exact words. But basically, he was like,
you can't remember the exact words. And the reason
the
he was being
the richest man in the fucking world. Like, he's basically like, yeah, I don't need your $25, you fucking idiot.
Oh my God.
I'm Andy Lee.
Fuck, man. I think as well, I would love to think as well that, like, you, because you were so high the whole time you were saying that, you were like sliding both your hands into his pockets. It's like talking to him, being like, can I pay for my food? And just touching his legs on the back of your fingers.
And then, like, the most, you know how when people, like, when charming people say something to you that is genuinely nice but also is fucking crushing? As we were leaving, I was like, anyway, thanks so much for dinner. And he goes, oh, hopefully next time we can talk a bit more. And I was like, oh God.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
One of those comments lets you know there's not going to be a next one. Hey, maybe next life you can stick around in the Donners a bit more. He thinks you're Adrian.
Yeah.
Anyway, man.
Fuck. Watch, please watch Celebrity Letters and Numbers 8 p.m. Saturday nights on SBS.
Oh, hey, bad job, Hing. Hey, man, bad job.
have we talked about Hing's New York agent meeting on here before?
I think, have you talked about that on a podcast before?
You would have talked about it on a podcast, but I don't think we've.
I don't know if I've told that story here.
I would love to hear it.
You don't have to.
I've tried to make it big in America. Three times in my life, and yet by the and you can tell by the fact that I'm still here in Australia that it hasn't worked out. A couple of years ago when I went to New York, I had a little bit of heat on me because of some internet videos I'd made that people liked, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna go and make it big in Hollywood or whatever.
Where can they find those internet videos, Hing, and do they have to turn on incognito?
Yeah, I had put a fleshlight between two mattresses and I had fucked it so good.
That's so cool.
It went viral. It went viral on not even Pornhub. It went
Pornhub. Wow.
It went viral on RedTube.
Wait, you're hitting up like xnxx.com. The kind of stuff you get on when you're really early on. No,
there's one.
I threw a fleshlight out of a plane and then I jumped out of the plane and met it on the way down.
Oh, man.
There, we got the stunt coordinator from Triple X, the Vin Diesel film, to work on my porno. So I jumped out. No, I'm trying to think of the pornographic website I saw one time, but where, you know how usually the pornographic websites don't have a mascot? It's just the title of the pornographic website, or it's like the letters of the words.
Yeah, but I do remember there was a porno site called Fabdo, I think, that had a little hat on and a mustache that was like a fancy person.
X-Hamster?
No, not X-Hamster. I thought the one Demi's talking about, I thought it was called UJizz.
No, you just. Oh no! I thought Fabdo was the one with the little hat person, but it might have been UJizz.
UJizz.
No, maybe it was because I remember the thing was like the when you would open up the website.
Michael has typed a pornography website into his browser, been served pornography, and recoiled like a dowager singer rat.
I know that I'm a prude. I love pornography as much as the next person.
Yeah, it's just that what Michael has seen is clearly the inside of his own colon, and he doesn't know how they got the camera
in
there.
It's quite confronting to look at pornography while you're on a Zoom call with your friends. That's quite a
weird will prove
thing
that
to
it's
do.
Not. Let me have just a real quick look. This is on your account. I'm not going to type in what I was going to do.
Thank you.
Anyway. Was it which? Did you find out which one it was with the little mascot?
Well, I went to UG's, but it didn't have the mascot. I thought.
I think it was Fabdu. I think it was because I think they would be like Fabdu. Yes, sir. They would say. The lady would say
Fabdu. F-A-P-D-U. Yeah. No, there's no Fabdu website. It looks like Fabdu's been deleted from the internet.
Yeah, I believe it has.
Oh my god. Rest in peace to Fabdu.
Rip Fabdu.
If anyone knows the pornographic website that had a top hat, a moustache, and a monocle.
Yeah.
Please get in touch with Tom okay. or Demi only.
No, Hing, you've been jerking off to Pringles cans.
Okay? I think that's what it was.
You've been putting your dick in a Pringles can filled with Play-Doh or something.
Yeah, well, look, Tom, not all of us have a fleshlight, okay? So,
okay, I don't either.
Not all of us.
I don't either because you bought me a fleshlight and I don't know where it is.
Okay, well, Demi, I don't have a fleshlight. Do you have a fleshlight, Timmy?
I don't have any fleshlights, Hing. You see me pull my pockets inside out and a moth flies out.
Do you really not know where your fleshlight is, Tom?
Yeah.
Didn't your name get engraved on the side of it?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer that you don't know where it is.
Yeah.
That'll find its way back to you at some point.
I know. It's genuinely the sword of Damocles hanging over my head.
Well, if anyone finds Tom's fleshlight again, please contact Tom or Demi only.
Just contact me.
No, that's terrible.
Why?
I don't want you having that power over me.
I'm just, why? What do you think I'm going to do with it?
I don't know. It'll be like you meeting up with my ex alone. Hing, you're in New York.
I think that'd be funny. I'm going to kind of...
You're having a coffee?
Yeah.
You think the fleshlight will be like, so Demi, we need to talk about Tom. I saw you guys are dating now, but there's some things you should know about his dick.
Hey, bestie. Hing, you're in New York.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was in New York and I was trying to make it big. And so I'd lined up a couple of.
He's talking about his dick. He's pointing at his dick.
He was trying to make his dick big in New York.
That's not. I did not point at my dick.
He was staring.
You did. I fucking saw you.
He was staring at the Statue of Liberty, just slamming it against her dress folds.
I was looking at this dice, actually. I was looking at a 20-sided dice.
Oh, that's worse. I wish you were looking at your dick.
Sometimes we play D&D over Zoom, so I need to have my dice ready. Anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was in New York, and I was meeting with some agents, and at the time I had a much more strict vegan diet than I do now. But this guy took me to, it's a famous New York deli.
It's not Katz's, is it? Is that like the old famous?
It was called Russ and Daughters, I think was what it was called. And it was very nice, very lovely. And he was like a regular person there, and everyone and the white staff knew him.
Hing means Jew.
Well, look, Tom, I think that's kind of offensive, but he was Jewish. And it was a Jewish deli, but... He told me a lot about that. He, you know. Anyway.
You didn't say he was a regular there. You said he was a regular person there, which made me think there was one guy that was 20 birds in a jacket.
Yeah.
All had teeth.
Yeah, most of the people there were regular people, and the rest of them were the fucking Star Wars cantina band. It was... just honking out their nose horns. Anyway, he was like, I'll just get the regular. I'll just get the usual to the wait.
Yeah, he was the regular person. Yeah.
He said to the wait staff, I'll have what I usually have. And then I was kind of in a rush to order because I didn't want to like be sitting there looking at the menu being, oh, I don't know what I
You should have said me too.
Well,
you should have just said, yeah, I'll have what I usually have. And they'd be like, oh, fuck.
And so I just saw on the menu, there was one thing that had open brackets VE, close brackets next to it, which I knew from looking at the menu meant vegan. And so I was like, oh, I'll just get that. And it was called a bagel basket. And so the person went away and they brought our food back and he got like a bagel and some eggs and some salmon and whatever else, you know. Looked very lovely. And then she brought out mine, which was a sort of wicker basket that had six bagels in it. 6 untoasted bagels. There was no spread, no cream, nothing. Just 6 untoasted, but no jam.
6 dry bagels.
6 dry bagels.
Like the kind of food that you would have if you're a hobbit's crossing the mountains.
Yeah.
Dense
and
so, bread.
And the agent I was talking to, or the manager or whatever, he was like, is that what you ordered? I was like, yeah. And she's like, and then she was like, yeah, it's the bagel basket. And I was like, yeah, that's what I ordered. And he was like, oh, weird. And then he was sort of like just talking and eating and was asking me, like, when you meet with these agents, I didn't realize this at the time, but if they like you, the Australian thing to do is to be like, oh, no, that thing I did, that was stupid. I hate myself or whatever. Because in Australia, you can never, ever let anyone know that anything you've ever done, you might or anyone would ever think is good.
And don't ever take a compliment. Don't ever think highly of yourself. And
but in America, because everyone's so charming and confident, if someone says, I like your thing, they genuinely mean that. And if you say, oh, no, that sucks, it's like you're arguing with them. And then they're like... But then what happened was I ate roughly 4.5 bagels while I argued with a man who thought I was cool, but I kept saying, no, I hate myself. And then he walked away being like, wow, this guy is so fucking weird. And it's just been argumentative and angry at me. And we got to the end and he was like, we'd been there for like 40 minutes and he was like, I gotta go. And I still had like 1.5 bagels left. And he's like, I'm going to take that. And he just took the bagel and lost enough money and walked out. Oh. Anyway, that's one of the many reasons I haven't moved to the United States.
But hey, you've got a show over here on SBS.
Yeah, so, you know, there'll be at least a dozen people who watch it. And boy, am I really hopeful. Look, I think most of the cast and crew will tune in. So that'll be nice.
What's your favorite letter and number?
Favorite letter is probably the most useful letter, I think. It's probably a B.
You think that B is the most useful?
I don't know if it's the most useful. It's the most fun. Whenever B's come up, you get fun words. And my favorite number is probably 75. I like 75.
Why 75?
Yeah. Just because it can get you to a lot of places, you know, from 1 to 1,000.
What about out of the context of letters and numbers, the show? What is your favorite letter and number?
I don't have a favorite letter.
Why?
They're all equal to me.
Why?
I think they're all beautiful. And numbers wise, I don't know. When I was a kid, my favorite number was 13 because it was the unlucky number, but I was too cool to not like it.
Me too!
But also as adults.
Yeah, we still talk about it today.
But we also have our birthdays are both 13s.
Yeah.
Well, so whenever I get like a football jersey, whenever like a brand or whatever is like, hey, we want to make you a football jersey, let's put a number on the back of it or whatever, I always ask for a 13, which I have since found out is the number in football that a reserve goalkeeper has. Cool.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's take a break here for an ad and we'll be right back in a sec. All right. See you soon. Hing, do you want to say bye to the listeners?
Don't listen to this ad.
No, yeah, and I actually agree with that.
Okay, and
They're largely bad.
I'm gonna go in to hit a bat for the advertisers and say hands off that skip button, pal.
I don't think you should listen to it.
Enjoy the high-production radio-style ad that's about to be piped into your ears, unless there isn't one.
Hing, they're always for, like, either the army or, like, the dick ripper off of 3,000. Okay.
Here in Monsanto, we're a family corporation that likes to poison children.
Okay, and the ad goes now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And we're back.
Hello.
I can't believe you guys are sponsored by the Republican Party. That's
They just like us. Yeah. They like us because we make the people who listen to our podcast dumber.
Yeah.
And they're largely leftists, you see.
We are a psyop, yeah. We're melting brains from the inside. We're giving people Havana syndrome, but without the diarrhea.
Psyop is a big bloke with... I'm thinking of a cyclops. Don't even worry about it, man.
That was genuine.
Who do you think is the most right-wing person who could listen to your podcast and enjoy it? Because obviously, like a Adolf Hitler, for example, would find this kind of stuff terrible. He'd hate it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, the idea of a regular person being a Jew, I think that would have turned him right off in the first half.
Yeah, he would have been like, I disagree strongly, is what he usually
famously
said.
Famously anti-Semitic.
He would have been like waving his hands.
I might go a little further than
famously anti-Semitic, this Hitler person.
Famously a cranky little guy, Adolf Hitler.
Hing scrolling down to the controversies section of Adolf Hitler's Wikipedia and just be like, oh my.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a bookshelf to clean off.
If Joe Rogan listened to this podcast, he would get anything.
He would
out of
hate it. Would hate it. I think the most right wing person that could listen to this and enjoy it, and I'm going to pull a smart move here, Demi.
Yeah.
I think it's you, Michael Hing.
Well.
And thus, I've cursed you with having to listen to an episode of this podcast to prove me right or wrong.
Yeah.
I will not.
Okay. And there we go.
I'm sure it's a good podcast. You seem to be very popular with some. With some lovely people who haven't accosted me on the street. I'm trying this new thing where I just deny the past in order to live a better reality. How's it working for you?
It doesn't seem new.
I'm trying radical denial. That's what I'm doing in my everyday life. Oh, Hing, we saw a picture of you today where you look really fucked up and shit.
Oh, damn.
Man, it's so bad.
It is maybe the worst photo I've ever seen.
It's so bad. You look like you look like a haunted doll.
We'll set it as the episode artwork for this episode.
It's unfortunate as well because it was a photo taken. It's a promotional photo taken for Letters and Numbers. And I reckon because we made 24 episodes of it and they took many photos of me every time. I reckon they've taken maybe 1,000 photos of me or something.
Were there any of those 1,000 ones where you didn't look like a carved puppet?
100%. There were many of them. There were so many. And yet they've scrolled through and found the one where I look honestly like I was going to say I kind of look like a dystopian future game show host who's been left out in the sun for too long.
Yeah, you look like your skin's been like sewn onto your face. You look really bad, dude.
I think what's happened there is that probably they've taken that photo at the end of a three episode day. Where I've been wearing makeup for about 9 hours or something.
Oh, right. Yeah,
because you just caked it on.
Because you do sort of look like a painted pocket raisin that somebody got a bunch of fluff on.
What's it like to look so bad?
A fake tan or something.
Yeah, what's it like to look all
ugly.
Fucked up and ugly, Hing? What does that feel like?
Honestly, it's a struggle every day, and my bravery and the support of my ugly community is the only thing that keeps me going. You guys are also members of the ugly community, just so you know.
No!
Especially Tom!
No! Hing, have a go at calling me ugly. It's actually more fun than you think.
It's pretty fun.
It's actually more fun than you think.
Will not fall for this trap.
Hing,
come on,
it's genuinely, it's really, it's
this
genuinely
isn't a
more
trap.
Fun than
hey,
you
Demi,
think.
Hey, Demi, you're no prize pig.
I'm not.
See?
A lot of fun.
All right. Demi Lardner, you're a real gutter bitch. Is that okay?
That came across more pointed towards her decisions and demeanor. I don't know if gutter bitch is.
It sounds like I'm mean to rats. It doesn't sound like I'm ugly.
All right. Well,
Demi's the one in the Rat King that's always talking shit.
Yeah. I'm the one in the Rat King that's like, can you put your arms down? You actually smell. I know it's a hot day, but like,
Oh, my God. Kirsten's making jokes again, everybody. Everybody be quiet.
I was thinking, actually, Hing, that brings up a good point, because I was thinking that because, you know, sometimes people will tell you things about your podcast that are quite, like, sincere or emotional. And I was thinking of implementing like a rule that there's code that you don't have to be emotional about it because it's a strange situation when we don't know each other, but they've been listening to our podcast. If you want to, maybe there can be a code where if you want to do that, you just have to call me a slut. sending an email that says, hey, Demi, you're a slut. And we'll be like, it's the code.
But how would they how would you then be able to differentiate the fan emails from the emails of people calling you a slut genuinely?
And
you
know what I mean? That's the beauty of it, Hing. I take them all as a compliment, you see.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. I see. Okay. Well, if anyone I think I'm speaking as a cishet male here, I think I would be uncomfortable sending a female comedian or anyone, I guess, an email calling them a slut.
Now, Hing, do you see where that is also bad. The beauty? You see, because then I don't have to read a long emotional message. You see, this is the beauty. If they say, "Hey, you're a slut," I'm like, "Oh, they like the show." But if they don't, it's because they're like, "Oh, well, I can't say that. I guess I'll just keep my opinions to myself."
What a running joke we had on Letters and Numbers, and one that I've
was about shoes
in my regular life. What, sorry?
Was about shoes.
It's about shoes.
It was about stilettos.
No, they're a running joke. Tell you how bad they are running.
It's the assassin's heel.
Frick, yeah, that would be a running joke.
It would be a fucking running joke, eh?
It was basically every time there was a mistake or anything and I needed I thought the people might send in corrections, I would say, please send all your corrections to fennell.mark@sbs.com.au,
yes.
Which is Mark Fennell's actual address, email address.
That's
right?
Really funny.
Thinking that at some point, because we planned to, at some point we'd have him on the show and he'd be able to confront us about that and it'd be a fun joke that he was in on. Now, because of COVID restrictions and a few other things, he never came on the show. We made 24 episodes. He doesn't appear. And I'd say in about 19 of them, I tell the audience to email him. So another thing you guys could do is if you don't want to read long emotional emails, you could say, please send all emotional correspondence to Mark Fennell. His email address is fennell.mark@sbs.com.au.
Please send any emotional emails about us to Mark Fennell.
Yeah. FENNELMAR.
I think it's double L.
Oh, can we fact check that, Hing? Would you mind pulling that up in the other in your League of Legends monitor?
Oh my goodness. Okay. FENNELMARC @sbs.com.au.
And if you think Hing has spelt that name wrong, please send your corrections to MARC.FENEL.
That's really funny, though. Also really funny that we couldn't be on the show, but I don't know.
That's also really funny. That's a funny joke that you played on us. It was a funny prank,
and we actually like it as well.
We don't even mind because we actually do find it so funny.
It's actually really funny.
It doesn't bother us because it's such a funny joke.
Well played, Michael. Is the reason that we think it's so funny.
It was actually well played and well played out as well, I would say.
They asked about you, and I said that you both lived in Queensland, so weren't allowed to travel to Sydney because of the border restrictions. So,
fuck.
We really like this Tom Walker guy, and he's friends with you. That'll be good. And we really like this Demi Lardner. She's a comedian on the rise. She's really great. And I said, unfortunately, they are both in Queensland. They told me, and they were like, oh, well, they can just come down and then quarantine when they go back. And I said, they refuse to. I said they will not. I said it would be a risk to public health and safety of the state of Queensland, where they live, if they came and did our show.
Oh, well. You know what? You miss every shot you don't take. And I really thought this was going to be my time where some company would have to pay me to learn to read. But unfortunately, that's not happened yet again.
I think the producers were too worried about the size of your brain.
Mm.
Demi, not so much. You're a real dumb pig.
I am a dumb pig. I'm not even smart for a pig.
They're a smart animal and you're dumb for a pig.
Yeah, I keep saying noink. That's not it. That's not even it.
A grump, grump.
Imagining a pig teacher making Demi wear a dunce cap.
Oh, yes.
Having to put it on with your little trotters.
Oh, man, I would have to balance so much as well, trying to get it in between my trotters. I wouldn't even be able to reach up to under my head. Oh. You'd see me pushing it around the room with the top of my head not being able to get it on, dragging my face along the ground. No. I think I'd be such a shiny pig, too. I'd have a shine on me, like I was put in a bowling ball cleaner. That's what I think. I'd be a little round pink pig and so shiny.
Okay.
What kind of pig would you be, Tom?
What kind of pig?
Awful big hairy. Awful big hairy. Sure. One of those ones with its eyes so deep set it looks like they've been pushed in there with a thumb.
And I think...
I can actually only imagine you as a pig that's been shot and put on the back of a truck.
Okay. All right. And this kind of leads into a lot of the ways you picture me, which is always bleeding out.
Yeah.
Like, you know those magazine covers you see where there's like either a bearded man holding a gun next to a pig, or for some reason a woman in a bikini holding a gun next to a pig?
Yeah, when the Bacon Busters have the boars and babes.
It's not sexism. She has to be in a bikini because she photosynthesizes, so that's actually where she gets her strength, is her breast skin.
Demi's pulling the Kojima defense.
So. We didn't decide which pig that Hing would be, and I think he'd be a potbelly pig.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
What's a potbelly pig? Let me Google that. Is that the kind of pig that's owned by George Clooney?
Does George Clooney have pigs? Do you know Paris Hilton had a pig?
I just went to Google George Clooney pig, but actually just Google George Pig. Apparently George Pig is a character from Peppa Pig. Hang on.
Because I thought it would just be a new guy that we could know about.
It sounds like you'd be like a council member from Derry or something.
Yeah, I'm George Pig.
There are photos of George Clooney with a pig.
Hello, my name's George Pig. My Samantha passed away 2 months ago.
It's him in the meeting.
Ever so sad about it. I know I keep bringing it up, but I haven't gotten over it. So if we could put that memorial bench in for her, me, George Pig, Samantha Pig, passed away 2 months ago.
Where is that accent from?
Not sure, Hing. I just know that I do it quite well.
It was quite impressive. I would guess it's like it's from England somewhere.
It's England. I don't know. I have a lot of English family. No, no. Welsh sounds different. And Wales also isn't in England, you idiot.
Well, I'm very sorry to your many listeners in the United Kingdom, because, Tom, there are heaps, aren't there?
There are billions. And on the topic of listeners in the United Kingdom, can I bring up one short thing? This is actually...
Your penis? Yes.
No.
Yes, got him. Got him. No. Retire, you dumb idiot,
yes.
Tom.
It's short, it's wide, it's sharp.
Oh, I wish it was wide.
What did you want to bring up?
I was just going to bring up, this is a post.
He's like scraping his foot or something. What are you doing?
He's tending to himself.
I was Googling more pictures of George Pig. Oh, sorry, of George Clooney's pig.
George Pig.
Things obsessed with George Pig. Letters and Numbers season 2 going to feature George Pig very heavily.
I'm so glad someone's obsessed with
me. There were no other
me.
Comedians in Sydney we could get, so we had to invite George Pig.
George Pig.
So this is, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the subculture of dogging in the UK.
Oh, man.
This is where you go to a park or a car park and you get out of your car and then fucking suck in
sometimes
the car park.
Sometimes you don't get out of your car. Sometimes you just hang your old fanny out of your car and just let somebody approach and get in there.
Goodness gracious me.
Well, yeah, they have a subreddit. This is a short post I found. This is the only thing.
Man, why do we...
This is a post by...
We were having a good conversation. Why did you bring this up?
This is a post by Breast Lover, Man for Woman, Isle of Wight, UK. Anyone fancy having their tits played with outdoors in the woods? I just wanted to bring that up. I just wanted to bring that up because
anyone
we're talking
fancy
about the UK.
Having their tits played with. Now, this is something
outdoors in the woods.
I've never understood it. And
Demi,
can
you just do that, read that in that voice you were doing, though?
Oh, please? Hang on. What's that? George Pig. What did the voice sound like? Memorial bench. Anyone fancy having their tits played with outdoors in the woods?
Zero comments.
Honestly, much better in the accent, frankly. Sorry, Demi, I cut you off. I apologize.
I don't remember what I was going to say. Something about tits.
I think it was about I would assume... I'm sorry, do I make an ass out of you and me, Demi?
Okay.
But I think it would be something about how breast play is commonly touted as something that women would like.
Oh, yeah, it's stupid. Like. I had somebody shake my tit really aggressively once, like it was a magic eight ball while we were being intimate.
In the context of a romantic situation? Or
yeah.
Is this just...
Then they just shook it really hard, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's quite funny watching Demi tell this story because Tom has gone bright red and is shuffling awkwardly in his seat as though we all don't know it's him.
Listen, I'd run out of moves, okay? I'd moved it left, I'd moved it right. What do I do after that? I move it left and right real fast.
I've done the gently hitter with my car.
Left, right, left, right, A, B. That's how you do it.
I love to I'm grabbing my girlfriend's tits and I'm using it like a manual car, you know?
It's like you're trying to, like, there's only two player on the arcade machine, so you're just playing with yourself.
Yeah.
Just two joysticks in other hands.
I've seen in pornography, and congrats. I know your listeners are huge fans of the stuff.
Watching it.
I've noticed occasionally in pornography, there's a kind of pornography that it's a specific kind of, I guess, fetishized pornography where it's an Asian man and a white lady, right?
Right.
And I think in my earlier career with pornography, not career. That's what I'm looking for. Experiences with pornography.
Yeah.
I was thinking,
working in pornography.
Yeah. Your unpaid internships.
I was like, I think I would like this because I'm an Asian man and it would be easy for me to, and I just want to see representations of myself on screen. You know?
It's so important.
It is important, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had a real go at it. I really have had a bloody good go at trying to get into it, and it's not doing a lot for me. And the reason is, for some reason, there's a lot of nipple play going on in these pornographies where the women are very fixated on the man's nipples.
It's because they, you know why? It's because racistly the directors tell the white women, now you don't know this, but Asian men actually act as a safe. So if you crack it and twist it perfectly, when you hear the click, he's going to swing open and give you millions.
Yeah, it's like that. They're doing everything to him. There's clamps going on, and there's mouths and teeth and things, and it's just quite a lot. And I don't know if it's a thing that traditionally Asian men are meant to really be into, or people, or maybe it's just something that it's like. I'm always thrilled to find a new stereotype about Chinese people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, same. Oh, this is just everything.
Yeah,
about.
Us too. Yeah, and that's fine to say.
Big time, brother. Hey, I got a Google sheet to share with you after this that I'd love to add you as an editor for.
Anyway, so I don't know if that's a common stereotype I didn't know about, that Asian dudes love nipple play. I wasn't aware of that. But honestly, pornography, pull your pants up. No, not pull your pants up. Pull your finger out, pornography.
None of them work. It's so strange. None of them work with pornography.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Suck your dick better, pornography.
Yeah, that one's good. That one's
okay,
good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Better.
I'm trying to find stuff behind that's behind you to roast in the background, Hing, but I can't find anything. I can't find anything particularly roastable, and it's stressing me out.
We're recording this. Sorry, I'm recording this. Tom and Demi are in their house in Sydney somewhere. I'm recording this in my parents' house, in my sister's childhood bedroom, which I have converted into a podcast studio because she's moved out and gotten married and had a child.
Yeah.
Look, we all wish.
Yeah, we all
that
wish.
I've done more with my life.
Yeah, this whole
totally,
really
totally.
Helps.
So what you will
now
see
you've got
in
access
room,
to the cups. So.
Yes, what you'll see in this room. Have I talked to you guys about this before? Over here are the titular cups from the cafe. Not the titular,
but
the cups
that's not
from the cafe.
That's not all the cups, though, is it? What percentage of the cups would that be?
Let's talk about the cups.
So that's maybe 5% of the cups, maybe.
No, we're looking at a solid
10% of the cups.
Floor-to-ceiling amount of cups that fill about an area of 3 meters across.
Yeah, that's probably about 5% of the cups. So that's probably about... There's probably about 20 times more than that, I'd say.
Am I right in the cliff notes of the cups was that your sister was going to have a cafe, does not have a cafe, but has thousands and thousands and thousands of cups that you can't get rid of because they have a specific sticker on it for the non-existent cafe?
Sort of. Yes, close. It's kind of even funnier than that. So my sister, who I love very dearly, was going to move to China. To open a bar or do something. I can't remember what it was. My parents were worried about her moving to China. They were just like, the Communist Party, et cetera, et cetera. It's not organ harvesting. You know, it's a scary place, right? Also, you know, so dad said to her, if you stay here, we'll buy you a cafe.
That is
now.
Oh my
Jocelyn
God.
Ever expressed a desire to open a cafe before? No, not really. Had she worked in a cafe? Yes, for 6 weeks at the University of Sydney Union. Did that give her enough experience to run a cafe? Probably not. So my parents, or my dad rather, bought a cafe near Hurstville train station. It was called Otsu. And to Jocelyn's credit, it was pretty cool. Like, they made this little fish. They're called taiyaki. They're a little waffle that shed like a fish filled with red bean or other, you know, dessert flavorings. But the thing about any small business, and particularly a cafe, is that if you're starting one, it's just dozens of hours of work a week. It's hundreds of hours of work a month. You know, it's just so much fucking work. You have to live there. And, you know, Joey was what, like a 21-year-old?
That is so fucked up. That is so fucked up.
Yeah. Now, so that meant my father, who already has a job as the head of eye surgery at Westmead Kids Hospital, he would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go and open the cafe.
Demi's head was on the desk.
3 hours. He'd work sort of 3 hours at the cafe, you know, making coffees, you know, just the kind of thing that he's definitely not trained to do, but had a passion for.
So he'd do the kind of casual shift that would make you leave the job if you were like 17.
Yeah. And look over his shoulder and say, "You don't understand, hordes of blind children. My daughter needs to sell a fish biscuit."
Yes.
So he'd make taiyakis and he'd do the coffees and stuff. And then he would go to his job again as an eye surgeon, work a full day there. And then when he was done with that, he would come home, have a quick dinner, then go back to the cafe, which had been open all day, and then close it up.
He'd close it up?
Well, yeah, because he had to. He did the tills. I think Joey found it all too stressful. So I actually don't know. So anyway, so he ran this cafe with a little bit of her help for, and she did a lot of like the big stuff, like not the big stuff. She did a lot of the what do you call it?
Like the branding kind of stuff?
And the concepts and the flavorings of the taiki, all that kind of stuff. She did a lot of that. But basically, Dad worked in this cafe a lot for about 2.5 years.
The theme of this cafe is tired eye surgeon.
until they closed it up at the start, or when COVID hit, they closed it up. But by that point, I think it was making decent money. But the reason we have a lot of coffee cups is my parents went away probably about 2 years ago now. They went away on holidays and Joey had to do the order of the coffee cups and she found a deal.
Fuck, I thought you were going to, for real, I was like, what insane twist did she put on serving coffee? Was she pouring it into people's hands? Why did she stop using the cups that they'd already ordered?
No. She just had to order them once. And she
called it the Mr. Bean. She would pour the coffee grounds into their mouth and then water.
She would pour coffee into a raw turkey that then people would have to jam on their heads. I love Mr. Bean. She was ordering the coffee and she just ordered 70,000 coffee cups because it was something of a discount. Anyway, the coffee shop was only selling like, I don't know, 200, 300 cups of coffee a day. Like it wasn't, you know, super busy. Most of the business was in fish biscuits. and so we have, I would say, about 60,000 coffee cups remaining.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
And and you can see about 5% of them on the stacked against the wall over there.
Man, that rules.
I remember you sending me the photo when, or a video rather, because you had to pan to get all of them in one shot of when they were outside of your parents' house, because I think they were away when they got delivered to your parents' house. And so their backyard was just filled with boxes of coffee cups.
Boxes and boxes and boxes.
Have you ever thought of just like, I don't know, going to the desert, building a castle out of the coffee cups and then burning it down?
Man, it's so funny you say that. My dad has tried to give these away. Like he does, my dad, like he does volunteering and stuff at shelters and stuff. And he's tried to, like at the start of last year, he tried to give a bunch of coffee cups to homeless shelters that he volunteers at. And they wouldn't take them because they're like, we're trying to be environmentally friendly. anyway, fair enough. And I think he was so dispirited by that he hasn't. Like, I mean, nowadays that COVID's a thing, they probably would accept them. But he was so dispirited by that, he hasn't tried again.
Oh, Lord.
No.
And they all have a cartoon fish printed on them, so you can't even sell them to another cafe.
Fuck.
Oh, shit. Anyway,
I love the cups.
You guys want some coffee cups? I'm trying to offload some coffee cups. So if you'd like to buy 10 or 12,000 coffee cups.
If I can think of a stunt to do with coffee cups, I'll take some coffee cups.
Can we take like a box and just put them all on that wall or something?
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Pretty great sound, soundproofing. Like I don't hear anything from the outside in this room because of those cups.
Yeah, almost like your parents want to leave you alone and forget that you're living in their house or something.
We are, Hum and I are trying to move out, just so you know. We're not going to mooch here forever. We will... event, you know.
No, sure. One day you'll kill your parents.
It's so hard to move out and live somewhere because it's very expensive.
Yes.
Yes.
You'd think that as someone who has a national radio show and his own television show and his partner's a lawyer, you'd think we'd be able to afford a home, and yet
you'd think
we can't.
Yeah, you'd think it's weird.
Yeah, so this is where we are. But, you know, one day we will...
I would encourage you to start watching Grand Designs and just take some ideas from that, like build a cob house, which is basically a human nest where you get straw and mud and stamp it down into brick-like walls.
You like to stamp things down.
You love to tamp
the soft
earth. Like
your good friends Tom and Demi's careers by not letting them on your show.
Yeah, let us on your stupid show, bitch.
Well, that's good. That'd be probably more edifying than what I'm currently watching, which is an increasingly radicalizing series of YouTube videos.
No!
And let me tell you, I've got some really strong-minded ideas, guys.
Hing, no!
We can't lose you!
No, Hing, not you!
Sorry, guys, I'm down the rabbit hole now.
No!
The only dick I suck, it's Elon Musk. And the only pussy I eat, it's... Oh, what's her name? What's her name? What's her name? Oh, fuck.
My wife, Grams.
Hello, Grams.
It's my wife, Grams.
Hey, don't you suck my wife Grams' pussy.
I don't want you sucking on the vulva of my wife Grams, okay?
Oh, who wrote The Fountainhead?
Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand. You say Ayn?
Yes.
Unless it's the right thing to say, then no.
Ayn Rand, yes. The only dick I suck is Elon Musk, and the only pussy I eat is Ayn Rand.
Man, that was really...
Why did I do that? I'm sorry.
Worth the time in the oven. So I insist that the listeners to this podcast, if you're able to, check out Letters and Numbers when it's airing over here on SBS.
And by all means, check out Ayn Rand's pussy. We all know we'd love to eat it.
Okay.
Just like our good friend Michael Hing.
You know, The Fountainhead actually gives out mostly pee. Squirt isn't actually its own thing.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening. And thank you also, as like a little side note, I did the Gervais Percent speedrunning stream this last Saturday as you're listening to this, and we made $24,000 for GiveDirectly, a charity that puts money directly in the hands of people who are in need of it, who are living in poverty, and I really appreciate it. That's a fucking insane amount of money, and we started with a $1,000 goal and then ended up there. So I'm bad at estimating and you're all wonderful at donating, so thanks.
It's my birthday soon.
Okay. We can't.
It's Demi. Coming up on my birthday.
I know.
Demi?
Yeah.
What would you like for your birthday from Tom?
$24,000.
I can't. Babe, please. They transfer it to my bank account for like a second and then I send it to the charity. I can't keep it.
Some of it.
No.
Do you want a nice spinning top for your birthday, Demi?
Oh, we forgot to talk to you about the goddamn spinning top, Hing.
Are you guys also obsessed with this?
I'm obsessed with you and your weird purchases that'll fix it all.
Is there a dish that you spin the top on?
Yeah, but it's extra. So the actual top is about $250
You're
and
extra.
I think the dish is like another 80 or something. So it comes up to about $400.
You hear what I said? But, you're extra. Do you hear? You are.
You are.
You're extra.
Is that a compliment? I can't tell.
I'm not really sure. I don't really
we're
know.
We're too old to know.
Too old to know what extra means.
But I'm not going to buy it because, again, I'm saving up to murder my parents' house. But
$250 isn't going to make a difference, Hing. Get your spinning top.
Have the avocado toast, Hing. Spinning top.
Spinning top. Spinning top. Spinning top.
It's a bright blue titanium spinning top, and I love it so much, and I watch videos of it online, and I'm not allowed to have it. But I fucking want it so badly. Hum told me that if I'm if I'm good, she'll purchase. And I don't, by which I mean I don't buy the $400 spinning top. She'll purchase me a different lesser quality spinning top for Christmas.
Why would you want that? Yeah. Why would you want that?
Exactly, Denny.
It sounds like if you hold to your promise and if you're good, you'll get exactly what you don't want, which is a dog shit top.
Hey, I know you said you want Maccas, but if you behave all day, I'll take you home, give you a bath, and send you to bed for dinner.
Yeah. Don't worry, hey, we've got Maccas at home, okay? When we get home, I promise I'll let you lick my sweaty balls.
Yum, yum.
All right, well, Hing, I hope you get your top. Thank you.
I want that spinning top. I want that spinning top so fucking bad.
This is the most alive I've seen you in months.
You guys don't understand. The algorithm knows I want the top. And so every social media I'm on, it shows me ads at the top, and they're all fucking beautiful.
You're getting
every website
to
I go to, all the Google ads, they're at the top, and the top is spinning, and it's called Forever Spin, and it's fucking, and I want the top. I want the top.
Are you
so
watching
badly.
Like YouTube videos of just it spinning quite artfully done?
Yeah, look, yes, but there are very few videos of the actual top because I think no one's bought the $400 top. I think maybe the algorithm has also worked out that I'm the only person in the fucking universe who will buy the top, but I want it so
bad. But Forever Spin seem to have a top that you can buy that isn't for $250, don't they? Or is that
but it's not blue, is it, Denny?
It's not blue. You want the blue one.
It's not bright blue, and it's not made of
now, why do you need the why do you need the bright blue one, Hing?
Because I think blue is real. Oh, first of all, I think titanium is a very funny metal to waste making a top. Because I think they need it for spaceships, I think. And then also blue
Use the titanium, Hing. No, I need it.
I need it for my cars.
I need it for my cars and my spaceship.
My car won't explode by itself as much as I want.
Grams, a comedian in Australia is ruining my car business. Grams, help, Grams.
Yeah, the selling points of this are it's timeless art. Your spinning top will forever remain a timeless, elegant piece of art that will be loved by your children's children. And it's educational on all fronts. Learn about the colors, weights, and attributes of the metals of our tops. Learning can be both fun and beautiful.
Yeah.
You are buying the sucker's product, Hing.
I understand that. You don't think I know that? You don't think I know they saw me coming? I'm a fucking pigeon. I know what I am. And yet somehow they've worked me out.
I just realized you want the blue one because of your blue addiction.
Yes. Do you understand?
I get it.
I like being who I am?
Let's buy Hing the top.
This?
Why don't we buy Hing the top?
No!
I can't even find the blue one. Oh, wait. Is it that
the
one?
Makume Gane Titanium?
Yes.
I'm going to buy Hing this top, Tom.
Don't buy him the top.
I'm buying Hing the top.
Please don't buy him the top.
No, it's too late. I'm going to get him the top.
Are you buying it out of Tom's charity money?
I'm gonna set a goal on my Twitch to buy you the top, Hing.
I don't think your viewers on Twitch will, you know, because often the goals have to be things that the viewers want to happen.
Wait, there's one top on here that's made of humanium, and they call it humanium because it's made from melted down illegal firearms.
I think that top. Is they're either purchasing them from organizations that have confiscated illegal firearms. I don't think they're buying them from weapons.
Well, it says extremely strong and hard metal made from confiscated illegal firearms in conflict zones around the world. So I don't know what the fuck you're smoking, cunt, but you can have the gun top.
God.
A metal you should be proud to own.
Should I own the gun top instead of the titanium top?
Well, the gun top's only $70.
You see what I mean? Do you think the gun top would beat the titanium top in a battle? I don't think so. I imagine this 200...
No one's having a battle with
you. They are going to feel so stupid when I get the gun top and load it into my Glock.
And assassinate the president.
Yeah, you wait.
The president's been killed. The suspect is still spinning. All right, yeah. Let's wrap up there. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Thank you so much for being on Hing.
Thank you, everyone. And honestly, I love every part of this podcast when I do it. And the aftermath, I'll deal with tomorrow.
So check out Hing on all his social platforms, unless you don't think he would want you following him. He's Hingers on all of them. And you should check out Letters and Numbers when it airs on SBS and is available on SBS On Demand in Australia later in the year.
Thanks, friends. Catch you guys later.
Bye.
Why do you sound so cross?
Yeah, did you have fun fulfilling your contractual obligation or something?
No, I genuinely had a nice time with my friends, Demi.
Whatever.
With my friends.
I knew this was happening. I knew this was going to happen. I knew he was going to divide us and conquer.
Right. Well, hang on. No, I want you to know that one of you I thought was much funnier than the other one tonight. And I'll let you.
It's the worst kind of joke because I know you would never say it if it was true, which means I was.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.